Welcome back to another episode of Parenting Reality Bites podcast. The topic we have for today is Lockdown 2.0 with a parentheses on
words, Ivan, words.
Words on Christmas online, maybe. Kind of exploring what it could be like in the next couple of days, weeks, as we build up to Christmas. Where we're going to be, what's going to happen, and how we're prepping ourselves for that. Let's quickly go around and introduce ourselves. We've got a challenge, Rob. We try and get this done in 35 minutes. We never get there. We're hoping that some fresh blood onto this podcast will get us to 35 minutes. So why don't you kick us off, Rob, a little bit about who you are and what you're up to.
Okay. Hi, I'm Rob. I am the Associate Minister at Andover Baptist Church, as well as a keen Taekwondo enthusiast. And what am I up to? I am up to many, many things, Ivan. We don't have long enough for me to tell you how many things I'm up to. But, you know, they're all very exciting, and except for some of them.
Except for some of them. Good. Good to know where you're at. Grace.
Hello, I am Grace. I am the children's team leader at Andover Baptist Church. I am also up to many things. I have two children and I'm married to Fraser, who is a police officer.
Very good. Paula.
Hello, I'm Paula. I'm the leader of a zoo. No, I'm joking. I am a mum and a wife, and I am a key volunteer on the children's and youth team at Andover Baptist Church. I have two children, Josh, who is currently smiling at me because he is in isolation at the moment. So he is smiling at me through the door. He is 11, and Wilbur, who, thank the Lord, is at school. And he is 8. And my husband is somewhere upstairs hiding from the noise, doing his work.
I see. My name's Ivan. Obviously, I'm the Children and Youth Director at Andover Baptist Church. And I get to spend a lot of time with you guys as we all work together in various different forms. Again, causing chaos is my job. And I get to watch Rob clean up after me. So that's what
I
do.
Thanks for that.
So let's dive in. Kind of some similarities to glean from this lockdown to our previous lockdown that started in March. I don't know about you guys, but kind of feeling like apart from the kids going to school, this lockdown doesn't feel very different. You know what I mean? In terms of like, we should be only doing essential travel, but every time I'm on the road, it feels like it's not essential travel. I don't know how you guys are feeling about that. Grace, how do you think this lockdown compares to our last one?
I'd never know whether things that go around on Facebook are fake news. Rob's going to nod at me now and be like, yes, Grace, it is all fake news. But I saw like a comparison picture apparently of the M25 of first lockdown and this lockdown. Everywhere just seems as busy. I don't know whether, you know, I don't know whether people are tagging things onto the school run while they're out, and I probably am certainly doing more like popping into shops than I should. It's really hard to get into the psyche of being locked down, like, but then still being able to go out to school. So like in the first lockdown, if I forgot something, I just did without it until the next week. Whereas this time I'm like, well, my daughter's school's next to Tesco Metro, so I'll just pop in and get milk. And then I guess you're not really meant to do that. So it's really difficult to get into the, and if everyone does that, it's obviously a cumulative, isn't it? So, yeah, it feels a lot busier than the first lockdown, but a lot better on your psyche.
Yes.
So.
Rob, what are your thoughts on past and present?
To be honest, it troubles me. It troubles me because I think what we're seeing is a real lack of I don't know if it's a lack of awareness, but almost a lack of concern, despite what the truth is about this horrible pandemic. Because I think people are tired of it now. They're just kind of, they're over the initial phase of being afraid of it because it's something foreign that we've never seen before. But now, after all this time, people kind of feel like, oh yeah, it's just COVID. It's the topic of conversation. But as we know, every day people are dying of COVID and people are being admitted to hospital, and it's still a very, very serious situation. And I think the problem is people don't realize how serious it is until it's too late, until, you know, our hospitals are absolutely overcrowded and flooded, and our doctors and nurses are falling down because they're exhausted. And, you know, the difficulty is we don't have a cure for it, but it is preventable if we work together for one another's good. And I would agree with you guys. I think people are making a lot of trips that are non-essential travel because they're just fed up of being at home. And who wants to be at home? Everybody knows that being at home by yourself all the time really isn't great. It isn't great for your mental health. It isn't great for your routines. It isn't great for your sort of social circles. You want to spend time with people. But, you know, I always liken it to the Blitz. You know, in London, I think to myself, you know, there were always people who didn't want to turn off their lights at night, even though they knew that the Germans would then be able to locate London and bomb it, and that people would die just because, you know, you weren't disciplined enough to turn off the lights. So, you know, I'm not negating how difficult it is for people. It really is hard. It is hard to stay in lockdown. But the problem is the longer we ignore it, the longer the lockdown continues. The longer we just kind of pretend that everything is fine and everything is normal, the more people are going to need hospitalization. And I think that's the thing that I struggle with the most during the second lockdown, is there just doesn't seem to be a collective willpower to actually sort of slow the virus.
Very good. I think to add to that, I will get to you in a second, Paula. We're certainly not saying don't feed your children or don't go buy food for the house. And that's all we're saying. We're kind of saying, you know, let's consider, you know, what we're doing in our day, you know, rather than doing two trips to the shop a day, let's make sure it's one, you know, get what we need. And if you have to, I'm sure you guys can relate. So our daughter's school has only just started doing meals again. But before that it was, cause she's in year two, I think. I'm getting a nod from Grace, which means it's year two. But you know, for a long time, we kind of had to send them to school with a packed lunch, and we just weren't really accounting for that in our grocery shop as well as we could have, you know. So it was, oh, we need to do this extra shop in the week, or, you know, every other day. We're like, oh man, we didn't realize we were going through so much of this. And that's not what we're saying. I think it's just, how can we be considerate of, you know, what we're doing in our day. Paula, lockdown 2.0.
I think the issue here in Hampshire particularly is that our cases are low. So I hear that a lot when at the school gate, where people are concerned, but then caveat with, oh, but we're, you know, it's low risk here. It's low risk. And so therefore, when things like playgrounds haven't closed, so in the afternoon after school, there are still an abundance of children at the playground after school. And some could say, oh, well, my child's playing with a child who's in their class. They're in a bubble together at school, so that's fine. However, you then have a lot of parents mingling around together at the playgrounds after school. And I find that's hard because in the bit in between the two lockdowns, when school was back on, my eldest son now catches the train to school, but my younger son, I try and park at the village park. So we walk to school because traffic is chaos at school at the moment with the staggered start and finish times. So in the bit in between lockdowns, I've been letting him play at the park with children in his bubble, and I kept socially distanced from the other parents. However, now with lockdown 2.0 coming in, I have said, no, we can't play at the park anymore, Wilbur. And trying to explain that to him when we walk back to our car and there are an abundance of children playing in the park because the playground is still open, is very difficult for him to understand. Thankfully, he has been understanding, and we have explained and explained and explained. But it is very tricky when people are just going, oh, the rates are low here, so it's okay for us. And I think that I also think that rules are have been eased for this lockdown. So, for example, I think in March it was just total panic. Everything shut down. Nothing was open. I think the fact that schools are still open, which I think is a good thing, the fact that schools are still open, the fact that, I mean, I was really surprised. We have just moved house and we can have people come in to give us quotes for decorating in our house. That is allowed. They are allowed to come in because they are working. Whether we choose to do that or not is that's up to us to decide whether that's the right thing to do. But they are allowed to do that, which that would never, you couldn't in March. It was everything closed straight down. So I think people are seeing that a lot of the other rules are eased and therefore they are thinking, oh, well, if it's easier for others, then it can be easier for me too. So I think it's looking at what other people are doing rather than thinking, okay, is what I'm doing essential? Actually, it's looking, well, that person's allowed to go into that person's house to give them a quote for painting their lounge. So surely it's, I think that's a lot of the rules are easier than they were back in March. Mm. And so I think people are looking at that and thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to go and do that thing that I probably shouldn't do because I just want to.
I mean, I think it's an interesting thing because you've touched on something there where as a church community, as church family, we are kind of saying to our children, our families, the people in our immediate church community, we're saying, look, we need to follow government guidance. You know, this is our stand. And then we're trying to explain that to our children to say, you know, there are two set. It just feels like there's two sets of rules, doesn't it? Sounds like we're saying, well, that's okay. You can't do what they're doing because, you know, we're following this, let's call it a moral compass, and saying, look, actually, this is what it means for us to be church community. You know, honor the government, honor what we feel God is saying to us in this time. But, you know, an 8-year-old isn't going to, and my 6-year-old is not going to understand that either, you know. And then, you know, when we look at our wider church community, we're saying, look, guys, this is the standard. And then you're watching the outside world continue like nothing's going on. You know, there's this real, Rob, you must kind of come across that a lot as, you know, as we talk about it. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think in my mind, one of the key things that stands out for me is that one of the reasons people aren't taking lockdown that seriously is because quite often the only people that they worry about are the people in their bubble. You know, we're quite kind of almost like nuclear families here where, you know, your family is your main concern. And as long as they're well and they're fit, then everything's fine. And I think generally speaking, you know, you tend to see that as long as there isn't, like Paula said, as long as there isn't a high risk in your area and your children aren't at risk or, you know, you and your husband or your wife or whatever aren't at risk, people don't tend to panic too much because they think, well, it's fine. It's not really going to affect me that much. And of course, the problem with that is that, you know, particularly from a Christian perspective, we're actually called to love our neighbor as ourselves. And our neighbor is quite often a person that we don't know very well. Our neighbor is sometimes somebody that's very different to us, somebody that's in a totally different life situation. But, you know, our culture doesn't really condition us to do that. It just conditions us to love the people that we know and the people in our friendship groups and to take care of them because everybody else has kind of got responsibility for themselves. And I think that's what concerns me most right now is, you know, on a basic level, we have to help, you know, our church understand that making sacrifices, and they are sacrifices, let's not pretend they're easy, but making sacrifices in terms of our daily travel, in terms of our lockdown, in terms of sacrificing some of what we think are our rights for the sake of responsibility, that's all part of what it means to love your neighbor, according to Jesus. And I think the thing that concerns me the most is what kind of Christianity sometimes do we teach to the world where Jesus was willing to go to a cross and die, where in the early church people were willing to be crucified or martyred. But we can't stay home for a little bit, you know, with our TV and our Netflix and our, you know, our internet. It's just such a comfortable life that we're so used to. And I think that what worries me is the most vulnerable in society are the ones who are the most at risk by our behavior. And so, you know, when if I was talking to kids, and I'm not a parent, so I'm not an expert on you know, what young kids think, but if I was talking to kids, I'd want to break it down to the simplicity of this is one of the ways that we can love people around us that maybe are having a really hard time in COVID, you know, particularly old people. You know, old people, we need to respect them, we need to love them, we need to learn from them. And if they get COVID, it's really, really serious. So the reason we're not going to go and play at the playground today is so that we don't sort of spread this virus that might be fine for us, but could actually be very bad for old people, that kind of thing. And I guess it's just embracing that thinking. I feel like this is a pivotal moment, particularly for those of us who are Christians and as a church, to be able to lead by example. And not condemn anyone for the frustration that they feel during lockdown, because it's so hard, it really is. But I think if anybody should be trying to stop this, the spread, the church should be right at the forefront of that, encouraging people to just think of everybody else rather than themselves. And it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Yeah, living thing. And that kind of segues us quite nicely into preparing for what Christmas could look like. So we're still waiting for the next announcement in the next couple of weeks to say if filling wide UK gates and we can, go and visit grandparents or not, or we'll be kind of in lockdown for an extended period until a certain point. How are you guys kind of mentally prepping for that in terms of Christmas is going to be hugely different this year? Have you kind of adjusted plans? Are we feeling a sense of relief at the same time? You no need to shout out so loudly. Any kind of wins, or not wins, but kind of things you're looking forward to this Christmas, the way, if we were to go into lockdown over Christmas, anything that you would be going, actually, you know what, this is going to be okay. Let's start with Grace.
I think we said it on the last podcast, with, especially with children, maybe I'm speaking prematurely, but like for younger children especially, it's always, they always follow your lead as a parent. So if you think this is like the best thing, or even if you're pretending this is the best thing, they will think it's the best thing. So I have a 6 and a 4-year-old, and if it's just me and my husband and them on Christmas Day and we make it the very best thing, they'll think it's the best thing. Obviously teenagers are older, they understand more, but I think it's also important. Like, I'm not advocating that we lie to our children. Like, as our children get older, I think my 6-year-old certainly will say, I'm really sad not to see this person, especially her cousin. And I would say, do you know what? Mummy and Daddy are sad about that too. It's not a bad thing to let them know that you're also sad and frustrated and annoyed. And it leads into, like Rob said, good conversation about the sacrifice we all make in this time. So I'm kind of, it's really unlike me, and Ivan and Paula and Rob will probably fall over as I say this, but I am just trying not to think about what the plans might be, because I hold on very tightly to a plan. So if I make a plan now and the government changed those things on the 23rd of December, which could happen, it will just send me into a spiral of awfulness over Christmas. So I just think Christmas will be what it is. There'll be presents, there'll be food, my children will be happy, you know. And I think just to have forethought, and I guess it's in my brain because I have a frontline worker in my family, about those people who will be working over that Christmas period.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There seems to be, I tried to find it on BBC, but I can't find it now, that a leaked, another leaked document about a 3 to 5 day amnesty. I don't know if anyone saw that on the news this morning, but there's some talks about a 3 to 5 day amnesty over Christmas where 4 households could get together, which sounds really brilliant, and it would be brilliant. But if you're a frontline worker who we all clapped, who aren't able to meet over those 4 days. I think it's just thinking of those people in our family and in our lives who will miss out. Like, we'll all be ecstatic about those 5 days, but they might not be. So it's just thinking about families that we know who might have both parents as frontline workers, who won't be able to join in with that.
Yeah.
It's just holding both of those things, isn't it?
Yeah. What about you, Paula?
I am doing a typical me. I know what I'm doing for the next 24 hours. I can't tell you after that what I'm doing. My husband covers that. I haven't thought about it a lot. I'm an only child, so there's just my parents just have me. And so they are stuck with me. My mum did text me actually yesterday and say, I'm ordering the Christmas food. She orders the food and then they come to us. I'm ordering the food, and if we can't be together, we'll just split it in half. I was like, that's great. We don't do massive family stuff at Christmas. So it's not, I'm assuming the likelihood will be that my parents will be able to come over for Christmas dinner, but it could be different. The government may say differently. So I'm not overly thinking that. So we haven't done loads of thinking about it or preparation for it particularly. We're quite a little, our family, we do a lot together as a four anyway. We've all been together so much this year anyway that if it's the same at Christmas, what's another day? as my eldest son said the other day, this makes him sound really holy, which he totally isn't. But he said, Christmas is all about Jesus and we'll still have Jesus. It'll all be fine. Like, yes, brother.
I'm just saying he's got a good impact leader. I'm just putting it out there. Rob, what are your thoughts? And not to put any kind of negative connotation there, but you don't have any kids. Your thoughts around Christmas? You've got parents with you. What's your prepping for Christmas thoughts about Christmas?
I'm quite optimistic, to be honest. I think, you know, everyone's really worried it's going to be a bleak and miserable Christmas, but I don't think it has to be. I think, you know, one of the things we've learned during lockdown is how we can adapt and adjust and, you know, do things like use the technology that we're using right now. You know, we're on a podcast, but it's, you know, we're using a video sharing app. We can see each other's faces right now. And I just think, you know, in the dark months of Christmas, Christmas is a great tonic to darkness, because there's always Christmas lights about and, you know, there's cheer and all that kind of stuff. So I just think we have to adapt, as best we can. I mean, we're still going to have food. Let's be honest. We're going to have lots of food. It's going to be delivered to our doors, or we're going to go out now one trip a week or whatever it is to collect our Christmas food. And if you've been into the shops recently, you'll know that there's tons of nice goodies around.
Not just so I don't think that people.
Toilet paper is abundant. Stop buying it, people. Calm down. Just relax. I mean, seriously. It doesn't even cause diarrhea, but anyway.
Unless you're, like, going to decorate your house with toilet paper.
I mean, wow. But anyway. So I just think, you know, for us, we're just going to do the best we can to make home a really nice place to be. You know, we're gonna decorate the heck out of the inside of our house. And we're going to put up lights, and we're going to feel Christmassy, and we're going to play music. And all of these are things that we would have done anyway. But we'll just enjoy the coziness. You know, it's cold months. Let's have a hot chocolate on the sofa and enjoy a Christmas movie and just chill. Because, you know, it's not like we can't connect with most people over the internet. It's not like we are 1,000 miles away. And I can tell you from a church perspective, this will be a good Christmas in terms of content. We are going to produce tons of stuff for people because we know it's tough. The dark months are tough. Christmas is not going to be the same this year. So let's acknowledge that it's not going to be the same. Let's do it differently. Let's have a new challenge every day. Let's you know, do some crafty stuff over the internet, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, we can make it work. So I would say to you guys in particular with kids, you can make it work. You know, it's a great opportunity for you to spend some great time with your family, have fun, do find stuff in your house, build a Lego base or something, you know, whatever the kids want to do, just enjoy it. Like, you might find it's the best Christmas ever, actually. You just never know. It a lot of it comes down to mindset, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you've tied that quite nicely. I think it is just about let's count our blessings during this time. You know, we are, you know, so many of us are healthy. You know, we're getting food delivered, picking up food, presents under the tree. You know, the alternative could be so much worse, couldn't it? And like you say, Grace, about key workers being on the front line over this period, you know, they're kind of going, we're trying to hold the line while everybody else is having a good time. You know, so let's count that as one of the things that we are really thankful for. You know, wow, you know, we could be in a totally different place. We've taken the excuse to kind of, sorry, Rob.
I was just going to say, you know, one of the best Christmas presents we could give our NHS is staying at home.
Yeah. Yeah. And to go on from there, we've just taken the excuse to slow down. Like, honestly, like, how many years have we kind of spent running from one place to the next, trying to catch up here and catch up there? And actually, it's kind of the best excuse, kind of following government guidance in this time to say, you know, we're going to take a breath. You know, we've got a daughter who turns 7 on the 15th of December, and then a week later, it's Christmas. Do you know what I mean? And it's just really a stressful week for us, trying to get that all sorted out. And actually, we've got the opportunity to say, we'll just do it our way. We'll just, you know, chill out. And go from there. One of the things we're doing is on our essential trip, we're going to do it in an evening, and we've got family in Cape Town, and we're going to take them on a light safari with our via FaceTime. So they're going to be sitting on the couch having hot chocolate whilst we have hot chocolate in the car, and we're just going to do our light safari around our little area. Either we can walk it or drive it, because our area just goes nuts with Christmas lights. And we just thought, you know, it's the one time where we've probably could have done it a couple of years ago, but actually we've never thought about it until this year. And it's just one way we can share Christmas with family so far away. And that's really exciting for us. I'm going to start bringing us in. Rob, we usually do a kind of parenting fail, or, you know, kind of week fail for the week. So I'm going to start off, who did I throw under the bus last time first? I can't remember. So I'm just going to pick Grace. Let's not call it a parenting fail. Let's just call it a fail for the week this week, shall we?
I can't even blame this on COVID. I don't know why I have done this week. It's not even funny. It seems to be the term where the busiest term, the autumn term. I don't know why. And even without all of like the extra stuff that's happening because of COVID, it's still the busiest term. So my children have had like stacks of forms home that I have to fill out. And every single morning, the teacher has said to me, Mrs. Henny, have you got the form for me that you said you'd bring in yesterday? No, I don't. And I literally was like a 5-year-old schoolgirl this morning as I turned up with my youngest to preschool, and I was like, I've got the form. Like, I was expecting her to give me a gold star or something. But I'm normally so organised, but the last 10 days, I've had about a stack of forms that I have not signed. And it was getting to the point where my children were going to miss out on activities because I just hadn't returned anything that I was meant to return. So that was my parenting organisation fail.
Good. Good. No post-it note. We're all shocked.
I know.
Paula.
I've just had a parenting fail fortnight. Like, we've moved house, like I said, and I don't do that very well. And my husband, bless him, has to pick up the pieces. And then we've had to charge in isolation. So it's just been one thing after another, really, where I've just had my head in like a box of unpacking, and the crisis. Stephen comes down from working upstairs at about 6 o'clock and says, what's for dinner? And I'm like, rah, whatever you can find. Why do I have to cook? Rah. And
all in front of the children because we're all at home together. But one really funny one was my eldest son was trying to have a conversation with me about really serious like politics, and I am not into politics anyway. But he is, and when he's into a serious conversation, you can't just go, you have to actually listen. And he was talking to me about politics, and I was thinking about the house. And then I tried to engage in the conversation with him. And instead of saying Boris Johnson, I called our Prime Minister John Lewis. Which was a really funny moment, but also I think a parenting fail when your son is trying to talk to you seriously about your country's politics and you refer to your Prime Minister as a housing department store.
Kind of checking where your brain's at, you know, looking for those curtains, I understand.
And my husband will listen to this and go, you sound so middle class. But I'm speaking the truth, is what I said.
Rob, you must have a fail for the week.
I mean, the problem is Ivan just isolating one out of many, many fails. Fail for the week. I'm still thinking. I don't know. I mean, to be honest, you'd be better off asking Tracy because she'll be able to list them one after another. And she knows very, very clearly how and when I fail. That sounded wrong. I'm not suggesting that she, anyway, this is not Marriage Counseling Rob 101. It's okay. Everything's fine. We're good. What is my fail of the week? That is a great question. I don't know. Yesterday I had a conversation with someone that was actually a really good conversation. But by the end of it, it kind of got my brain kind of worrying about sort of some sort of negative possibilities far into the future. And it kind of freaked me out. And then what happened is
spoke to me yesterday, Rob.
It wasn't you, Paula. It wasn't you. But, you know, as sometimes happens, you just kind of let your brain get away with you. And then you start thinking about worst case scenarios, et cetera, et cetera. And before I knew it, I was freaking myself out. And the problem with that is that I then brought that with me after my hours had finished into my sort of home environment and started talking to Tracy and telling her how the world was about to end because the sky was falling. It took about half an hour for her to kind of get to the root of the issue and kind of look at me and go, what are you worrying about? Like, this is not even a real thing. This is like a worst case scenario 5-10 years into the future. And I'm like, oh yeah, how did I get there? And it's just kind of a symptom of, you know, when you are locked down, you gotta watch yourself a little. You gotta give yourself grace, but you gotta watch your thoughts a little bit because you can go a bit panga for a while. You can go a little bit crazy and then just sort of go, oh wait a minute, actually things aren't that bad and this isn't even a real problem. So yeah, that's my fail of the week, is freaking my wife out unnecessarily until she finally got to the bottom of what was freaking me out and then was like, what? That's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, don't upset your wives, people.
Don't upset your wives or your children or John Lewis.
Or John. I'm gonna pull Christy down on this one as well because I think it's a bit of both of us. So we always talk about TV in our fails. Maybe we watch too much TV. My daughter's got hooked on this animal rescue thing on Disney. And so we're watching, it's actually really, it's like about this vet clinic and it's, you know, looking after pets and, you know, rehoming things and whatever. And then Christy looks at me funny and I'm going, what's wrong? And I look up and they are amputating this dog's limb. I'm like, hang on. What's going on here? And my daughter's like glued to this thing. She's like, don't look, Dad, don't look. It's going to be so squeamish for you. And I'm like, but if I can't watch it, why are you watching this? So anyway, it's like, switch it off. It's like, but it doesn't worry me. I'm really interested. And I'm like, kind of going through the thing. It's like, it's 12 rated. She's 6 years old with it. But she gets so like, whatever keeps the noise down. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, our parenting fail is probably letting our daughter watch. I mean, it's not horrendous, but she's far too into the whole thing for my taste at this point in time.
We need a little section on this podcast of like things Faith has learned this week from the television.
Yeah, Rob, the last time we talked, we were on, she's already learnt how babies happen. So, you know, parenting fail there. So but that was fun.
What are you watching?
Well, fortunately, she was watching CBeebies doctor program, and it was very well. They handled it very well.
Well, thanks, so, yeah. BBC.
Thanks, BBC.
I introduced my sons to the wonderful, amazing world of Sister Act and Sister Act 2 this week. Yes. And they are epic, except I think they are PGs, but in the second one, they're nun. There are nuns. If you haven't seen the Sister Act, if you haven't seen the Sister Act films, like, what have you been doing, people? You need to go watch those. But there are nuns, and the topic comes up about nuns. So in the second film, they are teaching in secondary school with secondary school children, and the topic comes up about how the fact that nuns don't have sex. So obviously I then have to explain that to my 11 and 8 year old. Oh no, I don't obviously have to, but they ask. So I have to explain that. And one of the quotes in the film is that one of the teenage girls says to one of the nuns, you can't talk to me about sex because you don't have sex. And the nun says, you don't have to bite the donut to know that it's sweet. And my 11 year old son now is walking around saying that at least twice a day. And I'm just like, oh no. So that is another parenting fail. We could just do a whole podcast on parenting fails, to be honest. Paula's parenting fails.
Well, let's try and redeem that, because the same thing is also true of drugs.
True.
So, you know, you don't have to do drugs to know that they're bad for you.
We could just apply it to different things, couldn't we?
Yeah, just twist it a little bit. Yeah. Just change the emphasis. You don't have to jump off a cliff to know that you'll die if you do that.
Thanks, Rob.
This is a slippery slope, people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think let's wrap it up quickly because it's getting out of hand soon. It's been so great spending time with you guys. Rob, thank you for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard of any of Rob and Alex's podcasts, do give them a listen. Pastoral Pandemic Podcast, they're on our church suite through Podbean, the whole thing, check them out. You guys have got a new season starting soon, don't you? So have a look out for that when it comes through. So for myself, Grace, Paula and Rob, we hope you have a great day wherever you're listening from, and we're going to wave and say goodbye, and nobody can see us. Bye.